Hello and welcome. You're listening to Stay You Boo with me, Meg.
And me, Sam. The podcast where we have a coffee and unashamedly discuss whatever comes to mind.
From taboo topics to navigating life as a millennial.
Imagine a coffee date.
Or brunch.
With your bestie, but with a whole load of tech involved.
So without further ado, let's get into it.
So today we will be talking about sleep and well-being. This is a big topic. There's lots of points that we want to cover. So we're going to be talking about what sleep is and why it's important to us, how it affects our well-being on a day-to-day basis.
But also long-term.
Yeah, long-term is definitely, which kind of leads us into chronic sleep deprivation and health conditions, sleep disorders, maybe a bit about our experiences with sleep as well, and our tips on how to get better sleep.
I really need those tips, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, trust me, me too. I think we'll also try and talk a lot about the science of sleep, as we have a doctor or almost doctor in
almost
the house.
Almost.
First of all, we're doing Combustion Chronicles.
I actually love this section now.
Yeah, me too.
Live for it. So we did like four things last time, and I realized while I was editing that it was a lot of the episode. So this time we're going to stick to one, and that one is going to sleep to silence. Mm-hmm. Because I hate that. I can't sleep in a silent room.
I mean, just the way you said it sounded awful.
Doesn't
going
it?
To sleep in silence. Like, it just sounds like a punishment or just a really depressing thought.
Yeah, I used to think that I needed a silent room to sleep. And it wasn't until I started listening to sleep podcasts, and I tend to listen to like rain noises, just like,
yes,
and thunderstorms.
Oh my God, yes.
Those
are my favorite. So I really struggle with sleep. Like, it's a problem. And yeah, I'll talk about that a bit more later. But I love listening to any kind of natural noise. So I really like stream noises as well. Mm. But rain is by far the most soothing.
Isn't it?
Even if it's raining outside, it's like, it's not loud enough. I need it in my room.
Yes. I need a particular sort. Like, I think the one that I listen to is like rain on the cottage barn.
Oh, amazing. Yes.
It's so niche. I'll put a link. It's a podcast, but it's just like a 2 hours of just rain noises. Like, and they have lots of different ones to do with beaches. So I'll put it in the show notes.
Absolutely. We'll be putting lots of resources for stuff like that a little bit later on. Just listening to anything but silence.
Yeah.
Like, your thoughts get so overwhelming. I don't speak for everybody.
No.
But personally, and I know a lot of people with anxiety struggle with controlling their thoughts around bedtime. And that is when they are the loudest. Like, you think about the most stupid things if you're just left in silence.
Oh, absolutely. Like that mistake that you made 17 years ago that nobody else remembers.
Or 100%.
Probably didn't even see.
Not even a mistake, or just something you said in a conversation that you could have said slightly better, and you're just like rearranging the sentence in your head.
All the different lexical like possibilities, absolutely.
100%.
Or you're worrying about something that is entirely out of your control that's happening in 70 days. And let's be honest, who knows what's going to be happening at this point in time? We could be in another lockdown.
But I know you did a survey on Instagram.
I did.
What did people say?
It was pretty much 50-50. There were two votes in it. Sleeping.
Interesting.
Yeah. But people would rather sleep in silence. And I'm not happy about it. Because I think we're going to burn it.
Oh, I'm 100% burning this. Yeah, we're burning it.
Yeah. In the flames.
Oh, wow. That shocks me. Oh, there are so many like healthy sleeping people out there.
Yeah. Cannot be nice. We clearly have some people of sound mind following us, and I don't really understand.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, good for them, happy for you, boo, but also cannot relate.
Yeah, also, please teach me your ways.
Maybe we shouldn't be the ones giving the tips then.
Oh, yeah, this is bound to fail. Let's stick to the science.
Absolutely, we'll get into it though.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I think the thing for me about sleep is, especially in today's age, sleep is almost seen as a weakness. There's this hustle culture that we have, and it's seen as a good thing to be like, oh yeah, I went to bed at 12 and woke up at 5 to start work before my morning workout. And it's like,
it's like they're elite.
Yeah. And I don't know, I think that is a growing issue. And obviously some people don't need as much sleep as others, but over the past 20 years, reports have shown that people are sleeping less and less.
Yeah.
And I think when we're looking at health, we always look at these like modifiable factors like diet and exercise and smoking and all of this, but we don't think about sleep.
It just feels like such a natural thing. Like, it's a basic human function. Your body has to sleep. Why do we struggle with it so much?
Yeah, it's absolutely wild.
And why do we act like we don't need it?
Yeah, I really need it. I get so moody when I'm sleep deprived.
Me too.
But sleep is actually like really interesting from a science perspective. So
tell us more.
I mean, I think you know just as much as I do. So I think a lot of people tend to know about the two different types of like stages of sleep. So you've got REM sleep, which is like the deep sleep.
Rapid eye movement.
But you also have non-REM, so NREM.
So non-rapid eye movement.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. And the NREM bit can also be split into three. And it's just about how active the neurons are, the neurons in your brain, like firing off signals, how active they are and how synchronous they are. So as you get further into sleep, I suppose you could say, it becomes more and more synchronous. And then you enter REM. And typically, when you're sleeping for a normal amount of time, which is, they say it's between 7.5 to 10 hours, is sort of what they recommend.
Okay.
You see, everybody's very different. But you go through 4 to 6 cycles of this, going to NREM, then REM, NREM, then REM. REM is like really important because that tends to be where you have a lot of the restorative bits. It's also when you dream, but it's between like N3 and REM. That's when they tend to happen. So the last stage of non-REM.
Okay.
But basically, everything slows down a bit. Your heart rate slows down, and like all the different bits of your body are just doing their little work and healing anything that might need healing.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, growth and all of those bits. So it's super important.
Is that also the stage where your memory is important, or is that a different stage?
No, that's the same sort of stage. So sleep is really important in memory formation. So if you don't sleep well, you might find that your memory becomes worse. And a lack of sleep has also been linked to dementia. So it is quite closely linked with things like memory. So that's the other thing. You need to make sure you're getting good quality sleep, not just like
the amount of
fragmented
time.
Sleep, because then you don't get to those stages. So like, because if you then just wake up and go back to sleep, you're starting all over again from N1. So it's important to try and get like that proper good quality sleep, and doing it regularly, because you accumulate something called sleep debt as well, which I found quite interesting. So say you lose 2 hours sleep a night. At the end of that week, you're 14 hours in debt.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's a lot of sleep to make up.
It is.
But I know that you really struggle with your sleep, don't you? What's it like for you?
I do. I have always, well, as far as I can remember, I've struggled with my sleep. So I have a lot of sleep-related problems. It's not just like one thing. So I struggle with chronic insomnia. So that means I really struggle to get to sleep and then stay asleep. That comes along with lots of parasomnias, they're called. So those are just abnormal movements or behaviours whilst you're asleep.
Okay.
So things like jaw clenching.
Oh, the dentist told me off for that.
Yeah, I'm really bad with that. My ex-boyfriend actually used to like tug my lower jaw down while I was asleep because the grinding would annoy him so much.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then like sleep talking and groaning, sleep walking would also come under that, but thankfully I don't really do that.
Oh, my sister sleep talks and walks. Sharing a room with her has always been an experience.
Yeah, and it can be really dangerous. I fell off the bed the other day, like really hard. Oh. And I woke up so confused.
Are you okay?
Yeah, fine. I've just got a little bruise and a scratch on my leg where I hit the table. But yeah, these things are like common occurrences. Also things like lucid dreaming. So that's when you realise you're dreaming while you're asleep.
Oh, apparently you can trick yourself into doing that. It's like a skill you can learn.
I know that that is a theory. And I know people try and like almost...
learn to do it.
Yeah, or like induce lucid dreamings. That made no sense. Induce lucid dreams. So what comes to mind immediately is like psychedelics and like weird teas.
Yeah.
But I don't do any of that. This is a completely natural thing that my brain likes to do.
Oh, you're just blessed.
It's definitely not a good thing for me personally, because I also struggle with nightmares and night terrors. Mm. So nightmares and night terrors are slightly different. Nightmares are bad dreams. So anything where it's slightly disturbing or upsetting, whereas night terrors are when you are experiencing, I mean, there are lots of different ways of having night terrors, but the way that I have it is where you experience everything that happens in those night dreams. So any pain that is caused, any sensation that would be caused if something happens in your dream happens in real life, you feel it.
So then would you have almost like a physiological response to it? So like your heart would start racing and things?
Absolutely. So
oh, wow.
I have had panic attacks in my dreams and then woken up in a panic attack as well. It also can transfer to semi-consciousness. So you're alert and awake, but you're still in the dream. So you can't register anything around you. But you're like shouting and screaming and crying in a lot of cases. So I used to struggle a lot with this as a kid, and my mum would literally be right in front of me saying like, I'm here, calm down. And I would be screaming for her because I was so terrified.
Oh my gosh. That sounds a bit like sleep paralysis as well.
So sleep paralysis is slightly different.
Okay.
Sleep paralysis is when you are trapped in the dream, but you can't move. Sometimes you can be awake, but you can't actually move your body. So it's common for that to happen when immediately after you've woken up. So you're actually fully alert and conscious, and it's just that your body's not responding.
All of these sound awful.
Yeah, so sleep disorders are pretty crazy, and I experience a couple of them, or well, more than a couple. There's also things like sleep apnea, which I'm thankful not to experience.
Yeah,
which is a breathing issue.
Yeah, so people will randomly stop breathing in the middle of their sleep and wake up gasping for breath. A lot of the time it's picked up by partners.
Yes.
And we can test for that, and there are certain medical treatments for it, but it's, yeah, again, not great.
Yeah. And then narcolepsy is when you fall asleep during the day without any warning.
There was a maths teacher at our school who used to do that. And so just drank Diet Coke all day. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's really interesting. Like the coping mechanisms that you have for sleep disorders. Yeah, there is a lot. Some are healthier than others. I would say absolutely. Diet Coke would fall under the unhealthy category.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, though, it's good to save you from a car crash.
True, very true.
And that is something that's really important. So if you are lacking sleep, you can do this thing called like micro sleeps during the day. And so they're not long. It's like 3 to 30 seconds where you're just sort of a bit out of it. Mm-hmm. And you might not even notice. But in certain jobs, this is so dangerous. Like if you're in charge of heavy machinery and stuff, and you're suddenly like a little bit out of it for 30 seconds, you could quite easily just cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of terrifying. And it's the fact that you're so unaware of it as well. You like, you can't control it. It's not like you can just sit down for a second and let it pass. Yeah, it's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I think as well, we sometimes think that we can survive without sleep, like we were saying, but you really can't. So I was reading a bit of research and it was like, you can last for about, so after 16 hours of being awake, you just start to perform worse. Like your performance isn't as good because we have this like need to sleep, this intrinsic need. And there are like biological factors which encourage us to sleep. So there are a few things that feed into it. So you've got like a homeostatic drive, which is sort of controlled by the amount of sleep you've already had. So obviously, if you've had more sleep, you won't have as much of a homeostatic drive. And then you've got your circadian rhythm, which is like very old school. It's one of the most primal bits of our brain. And it's like, it's controlled by like the pineal gland or pineal gland. I don't know how to say it. Don't ask me. In your head. And basically that is reliant both on time. So like runs on like a 24-hour clock and also light, which is why things like jet lag exist, because it's based on this 24-hour clock. And also shift work, because light and stuff is completely different if you're getting home at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And trying to get to sleep. It's really difficult. I can tell you now. There's just a lot that goes into it. And like you said, it's so important. There's like sleep is so good for us. There's like so much that it benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting that you mentioned about like the light levels and things. And part of me wonders how much of that is human nature and how much of it is kind of the way we've programmed ourselves to be.
I think a lot of it is nature, because if you think about this, is I don't even know if this is a link, but if you look at other animals and like birds and whatnot, is like they tend to, you hear them out earlier during the summer when the sun rises earlier.
I agree, but we're not birds, we are mammals.
The same can be said for most animals, like they'll be out with the daytime.
A lot of mammals are nocturnal.
But those ones then are like completely different, but all of them behave in response to light in that case.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because so, I honestly think I'm naturally nocturnal. And I tested this theory out last summer when I would stay awake during the night for about 16 hours-ish, sometimes a bit more, I'm not gonna lie. And then I'd be asleep during the day and I genuinely felt 100% better than when I'm forcing myself into this like societal 9-to-5 working hours thing.
That's really interesting. I'd be interested to look up if there is any research on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm slightly biased because I've also tried it and it's worked for me. But there's a lot of, now this is hearsay, I don't have any sources, but I've heard people talk about people that sleep intuitively. So okay. They take naps during the day and they don't necessarily sleep at a specific time. It's just when they feel tired and they feel like they need to restore their energy. And that's when they fall asleep and they have a much better quality of sleep for that time.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it doesn't really fit with most lifestyles. Like, can you imagine if I was in the middle of a ward round or a surgery and I was just like, oh, peace out, I feel a bit tired.
I mean, within reason, there are certain careers and certain lifestyles that obviously it fits around better than others.
Yeah, definitely.
But like Einstein is known to be a napper. So he would have like six naps a day rather than one long sleep at night.
Can I not just have six naps a day and a long sleep at night?
I mean, try fitting that around your wards.
Do you know what? I don't think medicine's the career for me. I just need a bit more sleep. And that is the thing. You see a lot of doctors, and this is something that sometimes worries me, is they are sleep deprived because they're doing these long on-call shifts. And then I'm reading this research that's like, yeah, after 16 hours, you're not going to be working or you're not going to be making good decisions. And I'm like, these people have been awake for longer than 16 hours and they've got life and death decisions.
Literally life and death decisions. That's a bit worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
So that's what I mean about like whether it's just we feel forced into this schedule because that's what humans do rather than because it's what our body actually naturally wants to do. You know?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I'll have a little look at the research and I'll get back to you. If I find anything, I'll let you know. Maybe let everyone else know as well. But it's important for more than just staying awake. One thing that I found really kind of obvious, I guess, but if we're sleep deprived, we're more emotionally and socially sensitive.
Yeah.
I was like,
duh.
Oh. But like, there's actually evidence to back this up. So like when you're sleep deprived, you're more likely to cry if somebody like tells you you're annoying. And it's just like, oh.
That sounds like a very valid reason to cry. I don't know why I use that as an example.
I mean, I get told that all the time. But do you know what I mean? So like, it just makes sense to sleep more because then you sort of just can care less what people think. That's a good thing.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, like, just be better.
Just be better.
But there are also a lot of like physical things that like a lack of sleep can cause.
Well, yeah, I mean your body needs sleep specifically to do a lot of functions, so like digestion, most of your digestion is done while you sleep. You've mentioned all the brain health things like memory and all the other stuff. I swear I was listening, I just can't remember.
Well, maybe you haven't had enough sleep, so that's your memory going.
Oh, that would not surprise me. But like, yeah, there's actually physical functions that your body does, not just in the brain, but throughout the whole body. Because like, believe it or not, everything is in your brain.
Yeah. Nothing is in my mind.
All empty up there. But like, you need to have energy, and to have energy, you need to digest your food, and to digest your food, you need to sleep.
Yeah.
Like your body can't run off of nothing.
And I think like some of the main health conditions that are linked to a lack of sleep are things like high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, so like heart disease, diabetes, and also you just have like a weaker immune system in general. Yeah. And look, COVID is flying around. We all want a good immune system. So let's sleep.
Yeah.
Let's sleep more. And there's also just a general overall increased mortality with decreased sleep, and they're not sure if this is because of the link to other health conditions or whether it's separate, whether it's just the sleep is linked directly to mortality. But either way, there's a link.
There is a known link, we're just not sure what it is. But that's a really good point as well. Like, it is still very much something that's being studied. There is no like definite answers. There's lots of results that we can draw from data, but we don't actually know. But the fact that it can be tied to it, it just shows that like it's worth paying some attention to your sleep schedule or improving your sleep in whatever way you can.
Being more mindful of it, I think, is a really good idea. And I think especially because most of us want to be healthy, and I know, like I said before, we have this hustle culture, and sometimes people sacrifice sleep because they're like, I want to exercise, or anything like that. But if you are looking at life from a point of health and well-being, if you're maybe trying to lose weight, maybe you don't need to, but if you want to have a listen to our diet culture episode, I would very much recommend. But if that is something that you want to do, then sleeping more is actually beneficial, which seems a bit counterintuitive, but being deficient in sleep can actually increase the risk of obesity. Because so you have two main hormones which control hunger in your body. It's more complicated than just two hormones, but these two hormones do have an effect, and they're called leptin and ghrelin. And ghrelin is the one that makes you hungry, and leptin is released when you feel full.
I'm sorry, but the word ghrelin reminds me of gremlin. And when I think of gremlins, I just think of things that are like always hungry. So that is so apt.
That's how you can remember it. I remember it because when you're hungry, your stomach goes grrrr. That's how I learned it for my exam.
That is amazing.
But basically...
Top study tips here as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You can pass your medicine finals with Megan. Yikes. But basically, you will have increased levels of ghrelin if you don't sleep enough, and decreased levels of leptin, which is not the way around that you would want it. If weight loss was your goal.
Yeah.
It can also impact your insulin levels, which is why it can lead to diabetes, and it results in like high blood sugar. And so basically, yeah, it's just not great for you. Sleep more, exercise less. Actually, no, don't exercise less.
So that's actually a really good point, which I don't want to go into too deeply, but exercising during the day can help you fall asleep. So I guess that will come into our maybe tips for falling asleep or getting better sleep. Because I'd also like to point out, we mentioned some sleep disorders earlier, but sleep problems, which aren't necessarily as severe as the things I've pointed out, things like just struggling to get sleep if you're having a stressful time at work, or if you're going through a period of time where there's lots of noise outside your house, so it's disturbing your sleep schedule. There are sleep problems and sleep disorders. So even if it's just a temporary thing for you, it's still important to acknowledge. And there are lots of like different things that you can do in order to kind of kickstart your sleep schedule again.
Yeah.
And exercise is actually a really big part of that.
But so, exercising at the right time.
Exactly. So exercising just before you go to bed is a really bad idea because it stimulates your body and it actually releases endorphins
and cortisol,
which is the opposite of what you need to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. There are loads of reasons, I think, that or factors that can contribute to making it more difficult to sleep. Like if it's something you already struggle with, which I think me and Sammy both sort of do, Sammy definitely more so than me, I just wake up in the middle of the night sometimes for 2 hours and just sort of sit and eat ice cream and read a book.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's quite nice until I realised that I've then got an 8 hour shift or something. And I'm like,
Oops.
But yeah, so things like consuming too much caffeine, which I'm definitely guilty of sometimes, being stressed or anxious, again, guilty as charged. So different medications can. So ones for anxiety and depression can. So we tend to advise that you take those in the morning.
Yeah.
But there are quite a lot of medications which are similar in that sort of area. Different health conditions, like if you've got thyroid problems, I think, again, like we discussed in Combustion Chronicles, noise and your surroundings, but also light. So I know you like eye masks, don't you? Or
I
whatever
do.
You call them.
I really like eye masks. Sometimes it's just more like the feeling of something over my eyes that is quite comforting to me.
You see, it terrifies me.
Yeah, I can understand why. And I have to admit, it would depend on where my anxiety's at, because sometimes part of my anxiety is feeling claustrophobic. So it, like, literally with me, it's just running with the vibe. Like, whatever I need in that moment, I have to figure that out and work with it.
What's going to make me the least stressed?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what would you say your main tips for a good night's sleep would be, or getting just anything? Sleep tips.
So I would say listening to podcasts and music, or whatever you're feeling.
Any really... particular podcasts that you like?
Yes. So there are lots of apps that you can use. My favourites are Calm and Headspace. Calm is mostly to do with sleep meditations, and sleep stories. And I love sleep stories because sometimes I zone out completely, but other times I listen to it and just find myself drifting off while I'm listening to it. Other times I'll listen to 10 and it just won't get me to sleep. But it's, as I said, it's a vibe. So Calm is really great. And it also has meditations that you can do before bed or during the day to help you get to sleep later on. So it's kind of like sleep techniques that you can use, which is very similar to Headspace, which also has a section purely for sleep. And it's got like nature noises, soundscapes, they're called. It also has like all night radio. So it's, you can pick like a theme. So the ocean waves or rain, and it will take you through like a collection of everything that Headspace has to offer on that. So it will be like random clips of rain noises or a sleep story that features around rain. So that's really cool. There's also Spotify playlists that I listen to. So one called Peaceful Retreat and Sleepy Acoustic is another one. And that's just like relaxing music to just kind of zone out to before bed. And then there's also a podcast on Spotify that I am literally obsessed with. It's called Sleepy.
Okay.
And it's by Otis Gray, and they recently set up one called Dreamy, which is read by Kristen Eddy. And they set it up so you have the option of listening to a male or a female voice, which I just think is fab.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, and they just read old books to help you get to sleep.
That's so nice. I was going to say, because I listened to one called Wake Up, Wind Down with a guy called Niall Breslin, and he's just got a beautiful Irish voice. I tend to only listen to the wind down ones. I don't listen to the wake up ones. I probably should, but it's just 9 minutes normally. And he just takes you through like a different breathing exercise every evening or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think just having that routine of listening to something is something I've found really helpful.
100%. And that leads us into another really good tip. Is setting a bedtime routine.
Yeah. I think this one I find really, really important. It could be something as simple as always doing the same thing before bed. So maybe eating the same snack, reading a book, or watching a telly program. But if you have those set actions, it can sort of trick your brain into thinking it's bedtime, which is really useful if you are doing shift work. Because then when you come home at 8 a.m., obviously you're a bit out of it. So for me, one of the things, I always have like a bowl of cereal before I go to bed. So when I got in from my night shift, I would be like, eat my bowl of cereal and like watch a program, get my pajamas on, like put my sleep podcasts on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy to get sleep. It was so much easier than when I'd done it in the past.
Yeah. So, and it's one of those things, like a lot of these tips are things that it's not like a immediate fix. A lot of them take time to have an effect, and the practice of it, especially with something like a nighttime routine, it does take quite a long time for you to actually notice a difference in the quality and the length and the swiftness of falling asleep.
Yeah. And it won't work every night either.
No.
You're going to have nights where you can't get to sleep, or I wake up a lot in the middle of the night. That tends to be one of my biggest issues. Normally for a wee, I go for about 7 wees a night. It's not okay. But yeah, like I said, sometimes I just wake up for 2 hours or something and I'll just...
That sounds very annoying and something I can very much relate to.
Yeah.
That's actually a good tip as well, with if you can't sleep or if you wake up in the middle of the night, don't force yourself to get back to sleep. Like the more you stress about sleep, the worse your inability to sleep is going to be.
Yeah.
So things like laying there praying that you'll get to sleep doesn't work. Counting sheep doesn't work for me. And I know it works for some people, but like distraction techniques can work, but it's very like you do you kind of thing.
I think you're right. Sometimes just like getting up, having a break from your bed.
Yeah, go for a walk, do a bit of reading.
But don't walk outside in the middle of the night, please.
Oh yeah, like be sensible and be conscious. Also, this is not tips for sleepwalking. But also, like, if you wake up and you've got something specifically on your mind, or if you're not getting to sleep and you've got something specifically on your mind, try writing it down. That is a really good way of just getting it out. And again, that technique can work for some and maybe not others, or maybe sometimes it will work and sometimes it won't, but you just kind of have to find what works for you.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because there are loads of tips out there as well. Mm. Like we said, we'll definitely link some stuff in the show notes.
And if you are experiencing chronic, severe, or out of your norm sleep disorders or problems, I would highly suggest you talk to your GP about it. There are medications that can help if it's necessary for your case. Therapy or counselling can come in so useful, and it's helped me personally to overcome a lot, because a lot of sleep problems are caused by mental issues.
Psychological
issues. And that can create a fear in you of falling asleep, which means you put in unhealthy bedtime routines. So like bedtime routines can also be the opposite of healthy, mm-hmm. where you're watching TV really late into the night, or you're drinking tea with caffeine in it. So like things like that. So another tip is to avoid caffeine and alcohol, which is really interesting, because a lot of people think alcohol helps them sleep.
Yeah, I think it's to do with the quality, isn't it? So it might help you fall asleep, but it's not going to be a good sleep.
Exactly.
Which is why I feel terrible the night after I've had a drink.
Exactly. And you find yourself more restless in your sleep, and you just feel like crap the next day. And also that has to do with the after effects of alcohol. But most of the time, a lot of hangover symptoms are sleep deprivation symptoms. So it's very, very tied in. Yeah. But on the counselling note, there's a really great NHS resource called Sleepio. It's a website that offers online CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy, for sleep problems.
Oh, that's so cool.
And yeah, it is a really awesome website, and it helps you set up a bedtime routine and deal with your sleep problems, whether it's through techniques or advice or just coming to terms with what you're dealing with, in a very kind of adaptive way. So it adapts to you, and you input all your details, you answer some questions.
Quite personalized.
It's personalized. Like, it's not a person that you're talking to.
No.
But it's still for people, if you can't get to counseling, or if you don't feel like it's that severe, for people that just generally struggle with their sleep, it's definitely worth looking into. Or people that are just conscious about their sleep hygiene and would like advice or better tips than we've given to deal with that.
Oh, fab.
It's a really good resource.
Definitely link that as well then, along with everything else that we've mentioned, because I think there's a lot. Mm-hmm. And this was a very whistle-stop tour of sleep and well-being, mm-hmm. because it's such a complex topic in terms of the science behind sleep and sleep disorders and the problems that come along with sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
But if anybody else has any tips for a good night's sleep, please get in touch, because we would be eternally grateful.
We obviously need your help.
So make sure to follow us, like and comment on Instagram, and share whatever we post, literally all of it, please. And don't forget to subscribe, rate 5 stars only, please, and review the podcast on whichever platform you choose to listen on.
And as always, stay you boo.
And we'll speak to you next time.